Titans will play this Sunday, and a lot is on the line for both the Colts and the Titans. If the Titans lose, they drop to 1-3. If the Colts win, they go to 2-1-1, and they look pretty good in the AFC South with a home game remaining against the resurgent Jacksonville Jaguars. We're going to talk about that. We get our first look today at the injury report for Sunday, and we're going to be looking specifically for Stephon Gilmore, cornerback. He has played exceptionally well the first three games, and the Colts need all hands on deck at Lucas Oil Stadium against the Titans. We're also going to look at Ryan Tannehill, what he's done against the Colts and how the Colts have fared against him. Also, we're going to look at Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, the bell cow for the Titans. We know that. Derrick Henry is a guy that you've got to stop, but what it looks like through three games this season is he's kind of stopping himself. And so the Titans' offense, as a result, not terribly productive. However, the Colts' offense hadn't been terribly productive either. They've gotten yards, but they haven't gotten points to back up those yards. And Frank Reich will tell you that analytics will balance out and that yards will equal points in the end. When he uses the A word, I cringe. I got to tell you the truth. The Indiana Pacers, they are really, really young. Rick Carlisle told the media that, look, this is developmental. They are going to have a deep, deep bench. They are going to use it to develop the young talent on this team. And they got four guys who may start who are 22 or younger. They got a bunch of guys who can't legally buy a beer yet, for God's sake. Indiana football, hazed by Troy Aikman during Monday Night Football. What are we going to do, argue about it, for God's sake, right? Live Golf tried to buy on, or is trying to buy on, Fox Sports 1. They tried to negotiate a rights deal where they'd be paid for Fox to air their crappy events. Fox said, Pasadena. We'll talk about that a little bit, too. Cubs beat the Phillies last night. That's a good thing. White Sox just keep losing. It's awful. Hey, this is Breakfast with Kent for Wednesday, September 28th, 2022, brought to you by the great people at BUSR. BUSR, the place for sports wagering of all kinds. Go to BUSR.com/Kent and make your initial deposit. And if you're, whatever your initial deposit is, up to $1,000, the people at BUSR are going to match it in free play. And if you deposit more than a hunch, you get $25 in free chips. I do it. It's fun. I enjoy it. There's nothing like a Thursday night putting a few ducats on a game. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, it makes it a little bit more interesting. Fantasy football makes it more interesting, as does just a couple of dollars. Don't go crazy. Don't bet too much. And want to remind you, subscribe and like. If you subscribe to this channel and you like this video, you're entered to win what is in this prize egg. It is a piece of Indiana Pacers autographed memorabilia by a guy who is a popular, not the most popular guy in the history of the franchise, but a popular guy over the last 10 years with the franchise. All right, let's talk about the Colts. Let's talk about the Colts and the Titans. Look, Ryan Tannehill is a big deal. You've got to stop Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill against the Colts during his time with the Titans, he's 4-1. 10 TDs, 4 interceptions, 12 sacks against. He had 82 yards rushing last year, and that's a big deal. You have got to stop Ryan Tannehill from tucking it and running and moving the chains. If you rely on him and make them rely on Tannehill to throw the ball to wide receivers, you got a chance to beat him. They're wide receivers, not too terribly good. You got Robert Woods. You got Treylon Burks, the rookie out of Arkansas. You got Kyle Phillips, the rookie out of UCLA. You got guys, Josh Gordon is on this team. He's had one target. They're not really using him too much, but don't sleep on Josh Gordon. If you keep Ryan Tannehill hemmed in and you find a way to keep Derrick Henry from killing you, and here's what Henry did against the Colts last year. All right. Last year, he went 28 for 113 and 28 for 68. So overall, like, what's that? That's not a lot. That's 181. That's 56 for 181. That's under 4 yards a carry. And that doesn't bother you with Derrick Henry. This year, total of 54 rushes, 192 yards, 2 TDs. That's an average of 18 rushes, 63 yards through three. So it's a small sample size. But if you can keep Derrick Henry in that kind of pen, where Derrick Henry isn't killing you, 18 carries, 63 yards, you're going to beat the Tennessee Titans. That's the way that's going to work. He's got 2 touchdowns this year as well. Ryan Tannehill's QBR, it bears mention, is 47.2. Not much to sweat. Last year, in both games played against the Colts, he threw 3 touchdown passes and threw 2 interceptions. If you keep the 2 interceptions and you don't allow the 3 touchdown passes, that's a good start to stopping the Titans. The Titans right now, and again, small sample size, I get it. 3 games. This is not going to be indicative in all likelihood what this team is. They have built these rankings among NFL teams. 29th points against, 29th rushing yards allowed, 24th passing yards allowed, 31st passing TDs allowed, 21st in points per drive at 1.59, 29th in points per drive allowed at 2.44. This is a team you ought to beat. If you're the Colts and you have designs on winning the AFC South, and you believe somehow you should be in the conversation as a potential threat to other AFC teams once you get to the playoffs, you have to beat Tennessee at home. Last year, they lost to Tennessee at home. They lost that game 34-31 in overtime. It was the famous 4th-and-4 play from the Titan, 4th-and-4 play, from the Titans 40, where Frank Reich said, you know what, we're going for it. Despite the fact that they were up 14-0, despite the fact that the Titans had moved the ball effectively, despite the fact that they had a really good, at that point, weapon as a punter in Rigoberto Sanchez, who was really good before he tore his Achilles in that dumbass sprint, at pinning opponents inside the 10, he went for it. He gave the Titans life. The Titans said thank you very much, and they marched down the field and scored a touchdown. And so it was 14-7 rather than 14-0. Titans pinned back in their own zone, and hey, you know what? We're not moving the ball real well. We're going to be conservative, and we're going to play field position. Frank Reich opened the door for momentum to walk in and take over that game. And that's exactly what happened at Lucas Oil Stadium last year. It was also the game where the Colts actually found life because Carson Wentz kind of like threw it like this to a Titan. Titan caught it, brought it into the end zone, went up by 7. And the Colts tied the game to go into overtime as a result, but it was tied. Colts deep in their own territory, not moving the ball effectively, but then all of a sudden got some offensive life via that pick 6 against for Carson Wentz. So Carson Wentz doing Carson Wentz things actually paid off once for the Indianapolis Colts. First injury report today, like I said, Stephon Gilmore and his hamstring. We don't want this to be a lingering issue, so it would surprise me if Stephon Gilmore was full go today on the injury report, but I'm not going to worry about that if he's not. If he's limited, I'm cool, right? Bernard Ryman, likely to be limited. This he's got that ankle sprain. It would be great if he was good to go on Sunday. Julian Blackman, will find out where his ankle is at, although it didn't bother me at all what the Colts put together in terms of a secondary without Julian Blackman. It was not a bad thing for the Colts. let's talk about the Pacers for a minute. We don't talk about the Pacers a lot. They're about a week away from their preseason opener, and this is going to be an interesting season for Pacers fans because the Pacers are in full-blown rebuild mode. One of the things that happened with Miles Turner is Miles Turner came out to the media, and he said, you know what? Ask me now about trades because I'm not talking about it again. Why would anybody talk to Miles Turner about anything else? He is a soon-to-be former Pacer. That's it. That's who he is. Does he think he's going to be the defensive player of the year this year for the Pacers? He's not. He's moving on. He's going to go play someplace else. Pacers fans have resigned themselves to that fact. I have no idea what else you would ask Miles Turner about. The Pacers are going to be young, and they're going to develop guys. There is no point in playing Miles Turner 35 minutes a game. Is he physically capable of playing 35 minutes? I don't know. But Isaiah Jackson has got to develop. Jalen Smith has got to develop. No point in continuing to develop Miles Turner. You can showcase him to elevate his trade value, but playing him to develop him would seem to be stupid. He is a 12-point, 6-rebound guy. That's who he is. He's going to get 2.5, 3 blocks a game. All right, that makes him the defensive player of the year? Not in the way I look at basketball. It does not. Starting for the Pacers, you're going to have Benedict Mathurin, 6th overall pick for the Pacers this past draft, age 20. Isaiah Jackson, hopefully, age 20. I don't want Miles Turner even starting. Jalen Smith, 22. Tyrese Haliburton, 22. And then for as long as he's a Pacer, Buddy Hield. I don't mind Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield's cool by me. Buddy Hield played hard last year with no reason to play hard for the Pacers other than pride after he was dealt with Haliburton for Domas Sabonis by the Sacramento Kings. I liked Buddy Hield last year. And so we'll see. We'll see how this goes. But they're going to go more than 10 deep in their rotation. And Rick Carlisle's going to see if he can build himself a basketball team as the Pacers continue to stockpile draft picks in the future in exchange for assets like Miles Turner and maybe even Buddy Hield. The LIV Tour. The LIV Tour went to Fox. Well, let's talk about IU first. IU football. They got Nebraska this weekend at Nebraska. It's a Saturday night game on BTN. Kickoff's going to be 7:30. They're 5.5-point dogs. How is that? The only team that Nebraska's beaten is North Dakota. They lost to Georgia Southern. And Indiana is going to go into Nebraska and lose? How could that possibly be? At any rate, I got to believe that spread's going to be bet down at some point. On Monday Night Football, Joe Buck went to IU briefly. And so he claims IU is kind of his college. And as he saw a Hoosier, former Hoosier for the Cowboys, make a play, Peyton Hendershot, tight end, he said, you know, bringing pride to the Indiana football program. And Troy Aikman said, well, it doesn't take much, does it? You know what? People got salty about it, but what are you going to do? You going to argue with him? You going to argue with Troy Aikman? His take on Indiana football, the losingest program in the history of college football, and could wind up, I think this year, losing their 700th all-time game. First team ever to 700 losses. You going to argue with Troy Aikman? I'm not going to argue with Troy Aikman. I'll argue with the odds makers who make Nebraska a favorite over Indiana, but I'm not going to argue with Troy Aikman. Although, it's UCLA. What's he talking about? UCLA, a little bit better now. But for a while, they were kind of struggling in the Pac-12. LIV, negotiating a deal, trying to buy on to Fox Sports. They tried to negotiate a rights fee from Fox, and Fox said, bite me. Correct response. Because nobody wants to watch this trumped-up shotgun nonsense where people are guaranteed cash. What's the point? If you're not playing for your livelihood, why do I want? How's that dramatic? Watching a bunch of pampered, you know, 35 to 52-year-olds play golf? I don't want that on my TV. I watch a PGA Tour all day and twice on Sunday, literally. Bryson DeChambeau, like to tell him specifically to bite me. Cubs, winners last night, 2-1, and Sox lost their 7th straight. They're 10 back in the AL Central, 7.5 back in the wild card. By the way, the Cubs with that 2-1 win last night clinched 3rd place in the National League Central. How about them apples? All our good thoughts to the people of the Gulf Coast of Florida. Today's going to be a tough one. The storm surge, up to 1 foot of rain, flooding, widespread flooding, all kinds of potential wind damage. Our prayers are with you. Be strong. A lot of people watch this show from the Gulf Coast of Florida. Stay safe. Hopefully, You got the hell out of there. You left the evacuation zones. Let's celebrate some birthdays, shall we? On this lovely Wednesday, Joey Steinert celebrating a birthday. One of the great names, royalty in New Albany, the Steinert name is. J.R. Ammons, who I owe a lot to. Happy birthday to J.R. Ammons. And the great Jack Arute, celebrating a birthday. If today's your birthday, you celebrate like hell. If it's not your birthday, you celebrate somebody else. That's best done with an honest and specific compliment. Again, good thoughts for the people of Gulf Coast of Florida.